I'll call your attention to a new series we're beginning for the month of October about sharing faith. And it seemed appropriate with our missions rally and our focus on missions to be talking about the importance of sharing our faith. Now, the very idea of that can cause some people's blood pressure to start rising, their hearts to beat a little bit faster. I could even strike some fear into their hearts because they have some concepts, and I believe some faulty concepts, of what it actually means to share your faith. Images may come to mind of knocking at the door of a stranger who greets them with a scowling face because their personal space has been invaded. Or standing on a soapbox, you know, in the park, shouting that message, "Turn or burn, turn or burn." And, you know, well, it's retorted with boos and hisses rather than hearty amens. I have tried those methods. And my efforts often solicited those kinds of responses without much, at least visible, measurable success. But if you feel called to do that, to share your faith that way, then have at it. But those are not the ways I'm going to be challenging you throughout this month, because I don't believe that's the ways that most of us, at least, are called to share our faith. So we're going to be talking about, at least this lesson, the idea of some really basic faith. I'm calling it Faith 101. Oddly enough, the wording sharing faith is only found in one verse of the Bible. And even then, it's only in a few translations. It's in his letter to Philemon that Paul writes in verse 4, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." And then in verse 6, he says, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith." Now, he gives a reason why he's praying that. He says, "So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." Verse 7, he says, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Now, we're going to talk more about what he says we'll gain from sharing our faith on a personal measure. We'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But for now, The Greek term that's translated sharing in the NIV is koinonia. Anybody ever heard that Greek word before? If you've been, you know, associated with churches for any length of time, you may have. It's a word most often associated with the idea of fellowship. Some versions of the scripture render this particular verse using the idea of communicating or demonstrating faith, which can be done in a whole number of ways. Some just use the idea that Philemon is being encouraged to partner with Paul, you know, in faith. But let's pursue this a little bit by asking ourselves a couple of questions. If we're going to share our faith, communicate our faith, demonstrate our faith, partner with others in faith, we got to ask, I think, this question. What is it? What is faith in the first place? What is it? The Hebrew writer defines it this way in chapter 11, verse 1. He says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So faith isn't a think-so, even a hope-so, but a I know-so. It's a firm conviction that's an anchor for our soul. The mooring, if you will, for our lives. I personally like the King James Version in this case. I cut my teeth on the King James in my early walk with Jesus, and this just really stuck with me. And I really like this concept, the idea, the way it conveys it. It says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Substance, evidence, sure of, certainty. Faith isn't subjective. It's not just that I feel something is right, but the evidence influences my verdict that this is right. contextually, we're talking about faith, of course, in God, that He really exists, that He's the creator of all things. He's your creator. That He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We've talked about that in the last several weeks. Without this faith, verse 6 of Hebrews 11 says, we can't even please Him. It's impossible to. We cannot possibly please Him. So it's a very important thing, is it not? That we know what faith is. And this kind of faith is intricately tied to belief in the Scripture as well as believing in God. We need to believe that His Word is true, or our faith will never be fully developed. We may have a seed of faith, a beginning of faith, but it won't be the kind of faith that God wants for us to have, that will please Him, and that will be able to equip us for sharing. So that begs the next question, I think. Do I have it? Do you have faith? How many of you know you can't share what you don't have? But the more you have, the more you have to share. You can't share faith if you don't have faith. Just can't do it. And it's a fair question to ask then, do I have faith to share? Do I have it? In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, he says. Well, how do I do that? He talks about Christ being in us, unless, of course, we fail the test. And Christ in us, again, it's not a subjective thing, it's a real thing, that He dwells within us, but you can't separate Him again from His Word. You can't do that. So is Christ in us? Do we pass the test? Do we have faith in Him as our Savior and our Lord? We need to be real about this. We'll talk more about this in the weeks to come as well. James does talk about that faith ought to be something you can see evidence of. You have to have evidence to have faith, but then there should be evidence that you have it. But you have it. But there are people who can do things that may give the appearance that they have faith, but only you and God can know for certain, is your faith genuine? Is it real? Do you really, truly believe? Do you have that conviction? If we're just sharing, see, our opinion amidst a whole host of other opinions, and folks don't agree with us, so what? Does it really matter? But if our faith is rooted and unwavering, then we ought to know it's not just about having a conversation with somebody. It's more than voicing a particular view or engaging in some meaningless dialogue. It's a matter of utmost importance. It could even be the difference between life and death. Why do I say that? Because God tells us so. In His Word, there are some very severe consequences, He says, will be there for any who ignore Him and His Word and His warnings. In the very next chapter of Hebrews, in chapter 12, after a brief history lesson about God's discipline as well as His mercy, Jesus is mentioned. And Jesus mentioned in this way, as the Hebrew writer says, see to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused Moses, who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from Him who warns us from heaven? At that time, the time of Moses, God's voice shook the earth. But now He's promised once more, I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, He says in verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, first century readers understood that to refer to soon coming judgment. And the Holy Spirit's intent was to move them. See, to take inventory, personal inventory. Where was their standing with God? How was their relationship with Him? Reminding them that without mercy extended in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they were far removed from Him. And no amount of works or law keeping could move them closer. Only Jesus could accomplish that. See, I believe the Spirit's intent for preserving these words all these years is to move us to do the same thing. Take personal inventory. Where are you in your standing with God? Where are you? And we have a calling to challenge other people to ask themselves the same question. Where are they in their standing with God? So, what is faith? Well, it's believing and being sincerely convicted, right? Of God, reality of Him, the truth of His Word. That what He says is true. What He promises, He will do. Amen? But what if I don't have it? Or at least I feel like I've got very little of it. Where do I get it? Where do I get this faith? It's not something you can muster up on your own. It's not something, again, that by working harder, you're going to obtain. There's no store that you can go to buy it. Not for love or money. Yet there's a way that you can get it for free. I like free things, don't you? You can get this faith for free. See, because I believe that faith itself is a gift from God. Let me explain. If God did not reveal Himself to us in creation, we would not even know that He exists. That's what Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says. By faith we understand that the universe was formed by the command of God. By faith. The psalmist would say again that the handiwork of God is all around us. It's displayed for us to see. If God had not revealed Himself in creation, we couldn't know that He exists. We couldn't know that. And if God did not send us further revelation, see, in His Word, we wouldn't know His nature. We wouldn't know what He desires. We wouldn't know His plan for us. We wouldn't know where we've come from, where we're going, or what our future could be. We wouldn't know. So if He hadn't given us that further revelation, the word Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by, some of you can complete that, hearing. And hearing the Word of God, the message of Christ. Now for them, most of them didn't have the opportunity to read it, only to hear it. But we, praise God, have the opportunity to hear it and read it. And through God's Word, His revelation of the Scriptures and the truth comes faith, fuller faith, greater faith. And if He didn't send His Son Jesus, the fullest revelation of God ever, we couldn't know God personally. We couldn't. John 1:18 says He makes the Father known to us. No one had ever seen the Father at any time, it says, but Jesus, the Son, the one and only, has made Him known to us. And Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. And finally, if Jesus had not sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of all that truth, as John 16, verse 5 through 15 says that He would do. Jesus Himself said He'd do that. He says, better that I leave, because if I don't leave, I can't send another counselor. The Spirit who will lead you into all truth. He'll convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. That He would do that. We'd never be able to fully comprehend, see, without God's revealing time and time and time again to us Himself, His will, His ways, His love, His grace, His mercy, His plan for those who accept it. We couldn't know. So it's all Him. It's all Him. Where do I get that faith? From Him. From Him. From Him. From Him. Yet, In Romans chapter 10, 20 and 21, the Apostle Paul records that God said this: I was found by those who didn't seek me. I revealed myself to those who didn't ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I've held up my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. See, it comes from God revealing himself. That's where the faith comes from. So you got to go to him for it, right? You got to go to him for it. He offers it freely. Freely, he's revealing himself. It's not about us, again, looking harder, digging deeper. It's about, again, us opening our eyes and hearts to what's already been revealed. Already there. But some won't do that. See, for all that revelation, there are those who don't have faith. What's up with that? What's up with that? How could people have such revelation brought before them, but yet they don't believe? You ever wonder that? Maybe that's been you, though. Maybe for a period of time, the revelation was there, but you didn't see it. Maybe you didn't want to see it. Maybe you weren't interested in it. Maybe you thought, I've got my mind made up already. I believe what I believe. I've been told certain things. You know, I'm not going to examine the evidence, the substance. I'm not going to look for any more certainty than that. I'm going to just leave it there. So, what's lacking? The revelation's there. We have to be open and ask God to open our eyes and our hearts to see what's there to see, to hear what's being said, to take in, drink in what's being offered to us so freely. Again, so as I think about what's up with that people couldn't see, they wouldn't receive, I'm going to illustrate with the WhatsApp. Okay? I never heard of this thing before. My sister's been off the grid for about going on 2 weeks now, down under. No, she's alive and kicking, right? I don't mean, but in Australia, her and her husband went on vacation there. Really neat that they've had that opportunity. They're going to spend some time there. They're doing an RV trip. They didn't put their RV on the plane or they didn't put it on a boat. They have one, but they didn't do that. They actually rented RVs there and they're going with a caravan all around the place. So they've been off the grid because so many places they're going, there's no cell towers. So many places they're visiting, there's no connection. And so they were concerned about that. And guess what? Their provider offers, you know, where you can get this special service for a lot of money, where you can be able to call and send things on your phone, use, you know, or you can just increase your data, or you can use all your data and pay a really high price at the end of the time. But they found this WhatsApp and they told me about it. They said, hey, try this, because any place we're near Wi-Fi, where we can get even the weakest signal, we can text you, we can send pictures to you, we can send video to you, as long as you have the WhatsApp app. So you download the WhatsApp app, we'll have the WhatsApp app, and guess what? You won't be saying what's up, because we're connected, and you'll know what's up. Well, you know what's going on with us. We'll be able to communicate. That's cool. And guess what? The app was free. I downloaded it for free, and it's free to use. There's no fee to it whatsoever. And since I started using it, I found out there are some of you who had the WhatsApp app. Why didn't you tell me? Why haven't you shared that with me? That you have this ability to connect the way you do. For free. My goodness. Now, I did have to download it and then activate it. Which basically meant this: I had to agree to their terms of service, which meant I would not use their WhatsApp app for any illegal or immoral purposes. Now, I wrestled with that for a while. And I thought, boy, gee, you know, what could I possibly do with this, you know, that would really... No, of course I didn't wrestle with that at all. I just said, no problem, I agree. And then had to give them my phone number so that I'd be connected. So I did that. And it is cool. I've had this means to connect that I wouldn't otherwise have. Now you think, where are you going with this? It's in a similar vein, faith is freely available to download from God. It really is. But so many people don't know that this is available. Freely available. It doesn't come from anybody else. It won't come from any other source. Once again, you can't muster it up. You can't just work harder and then you're going to have more faith. But to fully benefit from it, we do have to activate it. We have to receive it. We have to activate it by believing and receiving. Trusting. I've just got a little bit of faith here. Boy, I really hear what people are telling me that you're revealing. And I'm seeing bits and pieces, snippets, but I'm still not there. I don't know. Download. Father, increase my faith. Give me faith. Build within me faith. I'll tell you, ever since I first received the faith, I've been sharing it. In one form or another, I've been sharing it. That's what you do with something you've received that you're excited about, that's useful, beneficial, a blessing. Isn't that true about everything? And certainly it's true about that which we've received from God. When we really have faith to the measure that He wants us to, we share it. And that's one of the neat things is so often see when we're praying, God, help me with faith, increase my faith. He'll point us to the revelation He's already given. And the Spirit will quicken it, make it clear to us. And sometimes He'll even use somebody like me or you to share that revelation that you've received. Just sharing it. Praying for them too, that they'll be open to have downloaded that faith that God provides. So that's the final question I'm going to ask you today. Are you sharing it? If you have it, are you sharing it? Again, you might be thinking, well, I've only got a little bit, just a little bit. I don't think I've got great faith. I don't have, tremendous faith. Share what you have and watch your faith grow. Your faith won't diminish. It will grow. Paul once said this. He said, I believe, therefore I've spoken. When we believe and we speak, when we share faith, God multiplies our faith. That's been my experience. Has it been yours too? And the times that you've really shared your faith. Are we actively conveying our belief in the Almighty God who created us and loves us and sent His Son to prove it? As I've said, we're going to look at this more deeply in the next couple of weeks. We're going to consider some methods of sharing faith. But for now, I just encourage you to be praying, asking Him to bless you with faith, greater faith, but with a purpose. Not just for you, but for you to share. Pray for open doors and the wisdom, the ways, and the words to communicate our convictions. Do that when the opportunities come. I don't say if. If you're praying that way, the opportunities will come. They will come. Pray for the wisdom, the ways, and the words to share faith that God blesses you with when the doors are open. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for the relationship we have in You. Not just that we know about You, we know You. We know You because You've revealed Yourself to us. You, as we sang earlier, You didn't want heaven to be without us. So heaven came down. You reached out Your mighty right arm in the person of Jesus Christ to take care of the obstacles that stood between us. Father, we want to thank you for those who have shared their faith with us, those who have told us about the faith that saves, faith in Jesus, your Son, our Savior, our Lord. I pray, Father, if there's someone here today and they're saying, I hear you, but I just don't, I don't even have the faith to pray for faith. God, I pray for them. I lift them up to you. I pray that you'd touch their heart and that you would make your revelation clear to them. And Father, if you would use us to share faith with them so that their faith might increase, then we're willing. And the church agrees, says, amen.